Welcome to the Fearless Women Podcast. We're inspiring conversations for the unafraid. I'm Janice McDonald, founder of the Beacon Agency, author, and global champion for women. Why am I making this show? Because I want to share the inspiring stories of women leaders in business, arts and culture, politics, and more with all of you. Hear how they've chosen to go forward and be bold and make the world a better place, even when it wasn't easy to do. Subscribe now wherever you find podcasts. Hey, everybody, I'm Janice McDonald. Welcome to the Fearless Women Podcast. Guess what? I have a new book coming out on March 3rd. It's called Fearless, Girls with Dreams, Women with Vision. It's a collection of inspiring true stories and includes my next guest, Sabrina Fitzgerald. She is the managing partner of PwC, the National Capital Region, and Canadian tech sector leader. We have so much to talk about. Welcome, Sabrina.
Thank you, Janice. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, delighted. And fearless listeners, we know you're listening from around the world, including USA, UK, Australia, Mexico, and so many more countries. So thank you. Now, please show me some love by going online and pre-order your copy of Fearless by Janice McDonald at Amazon or at chapters.ca, just in time for International Women's Day. Okay, Sabrina, you speak regularly about innovation, disruption, and the fourth industrial revolution. Give us a quick overview. What do you want people to know about these serious topics?
Yeah, well, I mean, they are serious, but they're also fun because it's all that we know. I mean, we play with gadgets and tech every day, and it's something that affects all of us, not just in business, but also in our personal lives. So talking about emerging technologies and how you can use your business, how you can use the emerging technology to advance your business is super exciting to me. And to watch people sort of light up in the room when we have those discussions and the questions that come afterwards are so exciting. It's also what we do every day at PwC is try to figure out new ways to sort of do things with new tech.
So AI, machine learning, all of these big disruptive things, this is where your mind is at and your focus is?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I definitely talk on those topics because of my national technology sector leader role. Yeah. So that takes me across the country for sure. But I'm actually truly passionate about another topic, which is not something that I necessarily practice in, but certainly I would see helping all sorts of women, but also men across the firm, and then also people that I just know, friends and families. Mm-hmm. And that's on sort of work-life balance or that work-life continuum. And I know balance is sort of something that's gone out the window, but
makes you think more of that teeter-totter.
Absolutely.
Right? That you can never get it right, but that continuum is a great way of thinking of it.
Yeah. So that teeter-totter continuum that you're talking about, I actually use that in my presentations. So I've spoken to many, many groups, but done a lot of workshops too with large businesses around what is that joy that you find in your day-to-day. So if you're not passionate about what you do every day, then something's got to change. And I'm not saying it has to be your job, just the element in it. Like, for instance,
you're not saying your husband, do you?
No. Well, that's maybe for another show. But no, I mean, if like for me, I mean, I love creativity and I'm in a professional services firm. Accounting is where I started, but I went into tax really quickly because to me, that was far more creative than doing your daily ticks and bops on the audit side. Now, no disrespect to my audit colleagues, but for me, tax was where I could find creativity. So I had to find it in my job. If not, it wasn't relevant or fun anymore.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And this idea, sometimes we hear continuum, the other way we think about work life is around, so we said balance, but we don't talk about balance anymore, but often is integration. You know, how are we bringing those two things in together? And I think sometimes, at least in my experience, sometimes I'm more balanced, integrated on that continuum, and other times it's a little less so. But once I know it and I feel it, you know, then I kind of work to get it back into something that feels manageable.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually talk about it in terms of it's not balance or this equilibrium in terms of days or hours. It's sometimes weeks or months. You know, we go through very busy periods in our lives, whether that's through kid activities or the home or through work. And so it's not always about every day having that perfect balance or continuum per se. It's about finding it throughout your weeks, months, or years even, right? And I'm okay with that. So you sort of have to look at it from a holistic perspective and even take a huge step back, because what's balanced to me is not balanced to you, Janice. I tell you that. I might look completely out of balance to my mother, but I am totally in balance to myself.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think also we have to test our assumptions on what we think ideal looks like. Is ideal still working? What I thought ideal was maybe at a certain age and stage may not be the same. So other fearless women that I've had on the show have talked about chasing their dreams and going for it. And sometimes that can draw some negative attention in your direction for a whole variety of reasons. Morgan Freeman once said, he's the actor, some of the best advice he'd been given was this quote, "Don't take criticism from people you'd never go to for advice." Does that resonate with you?
It does. It does. It's funny, you know, my kids now are 16 and 11. So this goes back several years, but instantly when you said that, like, I was criticized because I took very short mat leaves or almost none, really. I mean, my first, I went back part-time after 4 months. And with my second, I was back at work at 7 weeks. For me, that was important to me. I needed that adult accompaniment. I needed that professional stimulation, what I got out of my, you know, work environment. And I did it not necessarily full-time right off the bat, but I did it and I chose to do that. And I got a lot of judgment, a lot of criticism from that. Like, don't you know you should take that whole year that you got? You were so lucky and fortunate to have that. I said, but I don't think I can be the better mother with that. You know, I needed that balance. And so I had to sort of do a lot of soul searching, because that's judgment placed on you and you have to be okay with your decisions and to move forward. And I needed to go back and say, hey, you know what? I made that choice to go back at 7 weeks. Am I still okay with that? And I was, you know, there was balance. We had flexibility in our family schedule. So my husband was able to take some time and my mom pitched in, but I had to be okay. Yeah. And I had to be okay with that. So, you know, why listen to those who are criticizing, really?
Absolutely. And I think it's, it can be hard though, right? The criticism can kind of land. And so, but I do like this idea of, if you don't value their opinion from that advice point of view, why suddenly does the criticism loom larger?
That's right. Yeah. It's about what's important to you and your values and being super comfortable with that, not about what other people think of you.
And I think also, and by the way, you know, women entrepreneurs, they're not taking a year off mat leave, right?
No.
They're back at it. They're working all the way, you know, broadly speaking. But, you know, so I think it also depends on the industry you're in and you know, the career you're having, where some of that judgment can come from. But as a woman and a leader, how have you actually handled that criticism? Do you have any tips for other women? So yes, around your values, but, you know, is there, how do you pump yourself back up?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think part of it is understanding where this criticism or their judgment might be coming from, right? So asking some of those questions back, and it's actually pretty amazing when you ask the question back to them of, well, what would have been better? Like, you know, if you were putting yourself in my shoes, what should I have done? And then they're justifying their position. Sometimes they stop and pause and think, oh, wait a second. I actually probably could have gone back at 6 months too, or, you know, done something different in my business world.
Or never even thought of it. Didn't even know that option existed.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, my advice really more broadly about anything that you feel sort of judged on is to take that step back, maybe push back a little bit if that's, you know, if you're comfortable doing that, but also understanding their point of view and just moving forward. You know, it doesn't matter what other people think. Now, I also think, you know, moving forward in the business context that I'm in, you know, being in a professional services firm, climbing the ranks, you have to be pretty confident at sort of taking baby steps, but also taking a leap when the leap is ready to be taken.
Yeah.
And that can be scary.
Absolutely. So, and a final point maybe on that would be, what's right for your own family doesn't have to be right for all families.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, absolutely. It's a unique set of circumstances. And so with all of that in mind, tell me about a time that you were fearless. What's what's the last sort of scary thing you've done, or one that sticks out in your mind?
So about 18 months ago now, I was sort of asked to by the firm to move my entire family to Ottawa to take on this managing partner role.
And which that was a big step.
It's a, you know, that was one of those leaps. You know, I'd been taking a lot of baby steps and some baby steps more quickly than others, But this one was, you know, a sizable leap into something that was very unknown to me. Mm-hmm. I had lived...
New city.
Right? I had lived in Waterloo for the better part of 30 years. Mm. I had been born in Montreal or just on the South Shore, moved to Waterloo when I was young, but lived there most of my adult life. And so for this, I'm now uprooting my family, my kids, for my job, right? And that mm-hmm. feels very selfish. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of...
A little bit scary too, right? Like leaving your community behind and what you know. But absolutely. At the same time, so excited with the opportunity.
Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. I was super excited about the opportunity.
Of course, yeah.
However, I was scared. Like, I knew Waterloo and Waterloo knew me. Like, we were one, you know?
That's, had it all figured out.
I had it figured out there. Mm-hmm. But when I came back to, like, speaking to my husband and even my kids, and it was funny because I would say that my teenage daughter at the time was probably the one who pushed us into it. She says, "We've only got one life to live, and that sounds like a pretty cool opportunity, Mom. I think you should take it." And for me to
That's
hear
inspiring.
That, it was very inspiring. I get a lot of inspiration from my kids, and especially from a teenage daughter. I see so much out of her eyes. It's amazing. But for her to say that, it kind of gave me that permission to say, if she's on board and my husband's on board, and honestly, my 10-year-old at the time, he's always on board. He's like, "Sure, take me with you." I'm like, "We're going," you know? Yeah. And that unfolded a whole bunch of interesting things that we had to quickly decide. Find a new home. What school district are we going to live in?
Right. Sell a home.
Home. Yeah.
Pack
everything.
Up.
Yeah. You know what? In hindsight.
Do we want to take this? Do we not?
Purging.
Yeah. Which makes room for new.
It does, you know, but it was a step that we as a family, we continuously talk about. And although it's been tough, we've had our challenges. Mm-hmm. By and large, we are so happy with our move and we love this new community we live in. Such a welcoming community, Ottawa.
Mm, that's so nice. Mm. So what about a favorite saying or a mantra? What do you turn to when you need to pump up or...
Okay, so I've got one that I used to wear on my wrist religiously with my, I had this bracelet called a road ID. I run a lot, so if I had to fall and slip, someone knew who to contact, but on there it had a spot for a mantra, and I put on there, "The pain of discipline is far less than the pain of regret." And that to me is
very
sort of my
philosophical.
Yeah, it's sort of my just do it. Like, just if it's on your list and you're procrastinating, like, just get it done because it'll get off your mind. And, you know, you don't have to be regretful that you haven't gotten to it for 3 days or you didn't go for your workout or your run. So I use it all the time in my mind. It's sort of, I don't even need to wear it anymore because it's just always there. You know, if it's, I'm a list person. If it's on the list, I need to get it done. And if it doesn't get done and it keeps reappearing on that list, finally, I'm like, let's just get it done so I
just
can move
it.
On. Yep.
I love that.
Yeah.
So you've always been an athlete. You mentioned you love to run. What have you learned from sports and from competing and from that commitment to discipline?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, people say, "Oh, you must be competitive because I've done triathlons, I've done runs." I'm competitive with myself, I think, is the biggest thing I've learned. Mm-hmm. I watch others around me compete for titles. I compete for just personal best. You know, did I do the best that I could today, given the weather that it is, how I'm feeling, the headspace I'm in? I mean, at the end of the day, we deal with a lot in our lives. And so lots of things can throw you off kilter. I think the discipline of training for an event, I like events because it does give me that discipline, but I think the discipline that comes from training has taught me a lot in my work life. It's carried me through in a lot of different areas, including parenting, including leading, being a mentor to others. It's about having those goals and sort of understanding what steps it takes to get there. It doesn't just happen by saying, "Tomorrow I'm going to run 10K in X number of minutes." It just, you need to plan for
that's
that.
That's right. Baby steps.
Baby steps. Be ready for that leap, man.
So take me back to the 10-year-old Sabrina. Where were you living? You mentioned you were in Waterloo. What were you up to? Who was your best friend?
Yeah.
And are you still connected to him or her?
Yeah. So my 10-year-old self, so if I think back, I wasn't quite in Waterloo yet. We were, as a family, just getting ready to move there. We moved just after my 11th birthday. Mm. When I was 10, I was exceptionally independent. I took on a paper route. I was needing to have some sort of purpose, I guess, beyond just school. And I was a competitive swimmer at the time. Like, I did a lot early on. And that's sort of a theme throughout my life. People always say, gosh, you seem to do a lot. And I'm like, yeah, I guess it started early.
Yeah.
But at 10, yeah, we were, you know, my best friend at the time, I am still connected to, ironically. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say we're besties anymore, but mm-hmm. we are still connected social mm-hmm. media. And it's nice to sort of have that connection. But having moved from, at the time, Cambridge to Waterloo, not a far distance, but you do lose some connection and some depth, especially in grade six, right? It's, it's an interesting time of your life because you don't realize the impacts you're going to have on choices that you make then that are going to kind of carry you through. For me, I would say one of those things, if I think back, is my brother was a competitive swimmer. I was probably in competitive swimming because I wanted to be like him.
Mm. And one older of those, brother.
My older brother, yeah, a couple years older, mm-hmm. always looked up to him and still do. But it was interesting as a sort of the second child, and we're only two, so I was the baby, he was the eldest. But I did everything that he did because to me that was sort of a natural way to progress. And I looked up to him. But as I developed through my teen years and even in our move to Waterloo, we were now in two different school systems. And I realized very quickly, I need to be my own me. I need to find my identity. And that started probably as a teenager where I'm like, I don't want to follow everything he does anymore. I want to sort of break out and be me.
What do I even like?
What do I like? Yeah. And you know what? I come back to that throughout my career. And even when I'm mentoring other women and men in the organization, I'm often saying like, are you doing this because this is something you're truly passionate about? Or are you doing this because you think this is what you should do because someone else has done it? You know, we need to be individuals. We need to be ourselves. We need to be our true, authentic self.
That's a nice insight, actually, to pause and ask yourself that question and to ask it of other leaders.
Yes. And you know what? And I think it's not something that I discovered as a teenager and, I'm good. I'm good with authenticity and I'm going to be me from now and then. Like, we are easily guided by our role models and our mentors, right? And we will easily try to mimic or even act like them or be like them. But at some point, you just have to stop and say, is this still authentically me? Or am I trying to morph into someone else?
Mm-hmm.
And to continue to come back to that, really.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So you still are connected with your best friend, and that's because of technology. So, and you speak a lot about technology as the national tech lead. Do you have a favorite app? And what's your approach to screen time? And certainly as a parent, how do you... do you have discipline around hours or minutes logged? What do you do?
So maybe this is where I'm a bit of a hypocrite. So I don't limit myself.
Okay.
I use my phone as a business tool. I use it for my newspaper reading. I use it to take in all sorts of information. I'm a bit of an Audible junkie, so that's probably a go-to app for me. I like to listen. I feel like I'm always plugged in, whether it's that or podcasts. But with my kids, I do limit their screen time. I think it's important at this young age that they are to ensure that they have sort of that quiet time in their mind where they can, you know, process and be creative. I think if you're constantly looking and feeding your brain, and again, this is where I'm a bit of a hypocrite and I'm working on this, I'm not perfect, that, you know, you've got to have that space in your mind to be able to know your strategic path. So for my kids, it's for them to determine when is school important? When do I have to put in the hard work to get the marks? And when should I start studying for that test or exam? When should I be on or off? And they need to learn to make those choices, but I try to guide them with a certain allocated hours per day.
Mm-hmm.
It's not perfect.
When you run, do you listen to anything?
It's interesting, Janice. I used to always. I actually used to, when I would stand up in front of a crowd and talk about my formula, I used to say, my time is when I run. And that's also when I take in information. I love information. But I read this book last year called Hustle and Float by Rahaf Harfouch. And she spoke about, you know, we measure productivity constantly in our jobs, in our lives, about getting things done. That list I talked about, you know, it's about stroking it off. But if we don't pause and give ourselves that space and actually allow ourselves that time, we actually never get to creativity. And we actually reward creativity at a strategic level in organizations. Mm-hmm. And if I think of how my roles evolved as a business leader, I need to be more and more strategic in terms of how I lead my teams, mm-hmm. how the direction we're going as a firm, how we're going to change in this tech sector. And if I'm constantly plugged in when I'm running, when I'm going for a walk, if I'm driving to work, then I actually am never allowing myself to think freely and independently and let my thoughts go wherever. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly listening to other people's, you know, great advice. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong there. Great advice. But I needed to turn it off. So I've started taking a different approach to being outdoors. And when I do have my cardio time, mm-hmm. I'm less plugged in than I have ever been in
Big
my
change.
Adult life. Big mm-hmm. change. And I have to force myself to have that quiet time.
I find when I run, I love music, but I will listen to music that I'm know word by word. So essentially, I like it for the distraction, mm-hmm. but because it's so familiar, that creativity is happening in behind.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of the best of both worlds. But to your point, if I'm in walking in nature, et cetera, I like the nothingness of it, the yeah. silence of it. The strategic thinking, though, is so important for any leader and even emerging leaders mm-hmm. to really get comfortable thinking in that strategic way and applying strategy on a daily basis can really transform a business. Yeah. What's your advice for ambitious women?
Well, my advice for ambitious women is to really, you know, to take that step back and sort of plan out what do they want in their careers or in their lives and how does this fit in the plan, you know, and to look at what brings you joy and not to lose sight of that, because we can run in a direction and find ourselves without that joy and that happiness anymore. And it's really hard to get out of. So if you never lose sight of what that joy is, and that's really around being centered around your values and what's important to you. And again, that can change over time, mm-hmm. but to keep that sort of at the forefront. The other strong piece of advice that has helped me, and I think it's helped many people through the years, is to create a strong set of boundaries and not to be afraid about broadcasting them.
Mm. Say more.
Yeah. So for me, for instance, like when my kids were little, I really have a hard time pulling away from work. So I would be at the office and I had
the allure of
of doing more.
Yes. Yeah.
Crossing off another item on that darn list. So I would be at the office and I knew that it's going to be hard for me to pull away. And so we had a pact, my husband and I do all daycare pickups.
Ah.
Because that
it was a workaround.
Me,
yes. Yeah,
it
to get you
me to
out.
Get there.
That's so smart.
Yeah.
Knowing yourself, right? And
absolutely.
And actually having a supportive partner that says, if you have to do this,
yes,
you will do it.
Yes. And setting that boundary was one thing. But, you know, my husband's not going to provide me with any guilt ever. I mean, he's amazing. But my coworkers can certainly look at me and we can self-impose guilt that maybe mm-hmm. isn't even there. So I felt guilty that I had to leave by 10 after 5 every day. My mentors growing up have always told me, you work hard, you work long, you show the hours. Like, that's how it was done, right? Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, I was programmed to think, no, I need to be there till 6. I need to be there till 6:30. Well, I can't do that if I have to be at the daycare by 5:30 or 5:40.
Right.
So it was sort of setting that boundary out there to everybody else. By the way, I've got a strict cutoff at 5:10. I need to get to my children. This is important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that you're in agreement with it. And that if you need me, I will be back online later on.
Okay, so Sabrina, women and money. So as an accountant, what do you want women to think about, know about? Really, this is such an important topic. I know it's a broad topic, but where are you at on this in terms of advice or thoughts?
I think for a long, long time, money and finances, especially in a family unit, has been something that is typically managed by the male. And so there's definitely something there for women. You know, we often don't know what questions to ask. We often go to meetings and listen, but we don't necessarily lean in and ask when we need clarification. So that's definitely a piece of advice there, is if you are going to meetings around your finances and your money, and it's not crystal clear, ask now, because you would hate to be in a position where your spouse, heaven forbid, isn't there anymore and you don't have that comfort to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
It is critically important as women that we do this independently, right? We need to understand our finances and ask those important questions. We need to understand how to build a budget, how to arrive at a budget, you know, based on the income that is coming in, whether that's in retirement or during your working days. But to understand that there's an element that gets taxed, goes to the government, and then there's an element that's take home. But out of that amount, how much do you need to save? How much do you need to put aside for kids' education? And then what's left over for your daily spending? And is all spending necessary, right? I think oftentimes we get lured by that shiny thing in the mall and we want it. And sometimes it's that extra pause of, do I really need this? Or would that money be better spent somewhere else?
Mm-hmm. Or saved.
Spent somewhere else to me, Janice, means put in a stash of a savings. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really important. And when I think about working with women entrepreneurs, hearing sometimes how frustrated some have been speaking to an accountant who maybe is not making them feel comfortable about their questions. And so, you know, they have to make that change. If you don't feel comfortable asking the questions about your own business, you don't have to be an expert. That's why you're hiring that professional.
Yes.
But the relationship side of it is so important, isn't it?
It absolutely is. It's okay, you're not marrying your accountant, but it is someone who's going to understand you from a financial lens. They're going to get very intimate with your finances. And so you better be comfortable with them and comfortable asking those questions. So if there isn't a fit, my suggestion would be to keep looking. And and that's, I would say, mutual on both sides. Honestly, as an advisor myself, if I don't fit with the client, it's going to be a tough road to kind of get concepts, ideas, stories through. You know, you need to make sure that there is that fit, that relationship that's able to grow and flourish really over time.
Mm-hmm. Helpful advice. Thank you, Sabrina. So what are you reading right now? You mentioned Hustle and Float.
Yes, Hustle and Float. So I did finish that one in the fall. And there's this new book that I've just started. I bought it a while ago, but it's been sitting on my nighttime table. It's The Judy Project.
Right. Out of Toronto.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've just started reading through two of the stories. And I really think it's going to be a great book about what women can do and just the impact we can have without even knowing we're having it.
Yeah. Getting inspired. Mentors and champions. Have you had them and how have you found them?
Mm-hmm. I've had many mentors and champions. One of my big mentors is my father. Mm. He was very early on. He never finished high school and did great things with his life. He went on to be a vice president of sales and marketing, had wonderful roles, was very well respected in his industries. He's now retired and doing great things there, traveling right now, actually. But, he's always been my business mentor in terms of making it all work, that balance between home life and work life and being able to have, you know, a business agenda and home life, a home agenda as well. But throughout my career, I would say a lot of my mentors through the years have been men, which is interesting now as I get asked a lot by women to be their mentor. Mm-hmm. But I'm okay with that. You know, I never really saw gender as I went through my career so far. I certainly understand the dynamic there and know that there's certainly a deficiency. I've had a couple strong female mentors that I constantly lean in on. Mm-hmm. And my advice there is not to be afraid, you know, because sometimes there are women that are maybe in intimidating places for you. I've got one who's a very strong leader within the firm. And, you know, she and I have had dialogues off and on for probably 7 or 8 years. And she's always made time for me. And I know she's very, very busy. But she said, I've always got time. Always. Wow. So just ask, you know, and I think that's what's important when you're finding that relationship is that if you've got that trust and that bond, people will make time no matter when you call.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And you have to be willing to ask.
You do. Mm-hmm. You do.
That's the big takeaway, I think. So final question, Sabrina, what's your dream for Canada?
That's a big question, Janice.
Oh, yeah, it is.
my dream for Canada, it's around sort of continuing down this path that we've already been going down. You know, we create a lot of innovation out of this country. We have diversity of thought. We bring in immigrants, which creates an amazing ecosystem. We leverage, you know, knowledge and know-how from other countries in that regard. And then we create things and almost export them, right? We're being seen as a strong, prominent player in other countries. And my dream is to continue to do that, to continue to bring in talent, but to sort of use that to help diversify our thought and then to recreate new items that we can then export for other countries to continue to be seen on that global stage. that's my dream for Canada.
It's a beautiful dream, Sabrina.
Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Your passion is clear. You're an important voice in Canada on technology, PwC's National Capital Region leader and Canadian tech sector leader, Sabrina Fitzgerald. Thank you so much for coming on the Fearless Women podcast.
Thank you so much, Janice.
Thanks for listening. We want our community to grow. Tell your friends, follow us on Instagram, and sign up for our newsletter at fearlesswomenpodcast.com to get the early scoop. Thanks again to our amazing sponsors, BDC, Lockheed Martin, and Export Development Canada. Subscribe in Apple Podcasts or in your favorite app. And if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star rating. I'm Janice McDonald. Stay fearless. Thank you to Export Development Canada, the international risk experts, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. Supporting Canadian companies of all sizes succeed on the world stage, EDC takes your worries away and helps you grow your business with confidence. When your business has no borders, neither does your potential. Find out more at edc.ca/womenintrade. Thank you to BDC, the bank devoted exclusively to entrepreneurs, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. We love smart companies that want to amplify women's voices. For more information, go to bdc.ca/women.